And we're starting this series, The Missing Piece, as Matthew has just said. And next week, we're going to be looking at dating and how Jesus can be found in dating, for how Scripture has outlined for us really a journey and a path of purity, and how we can be one's parents who grow, who are able to raise up children who are healthy in dating, engage in dating, but also for us as married couples, that our own dating life needs to continue on. Can I hear amen? Can I hear all the women say amen? Don't look at them right now and say, you need to be dating me a little bit more. I could do it a few more flowers. I could do it myself. Jillian's not here. She's just left the room, so we won't let her know that. But so really for these next 6 weeks, we're looking at particular areas in our life, like Matthew has just said, that we may not hear on a week-to-week basis in church, but we need to hear. You know, where is Jesus in our sex life? Where is Jesus in our money? Where is Jesus in our marriage, in our family? Where is Jesus in our anxiety? And that's where we're beginning with today. I love how you all got awkward because I said the word sex. But when looking at peace, and you can see, of course, the screen isn't working, but it's the missing piece. It's a play on words because peace is P-E-A-C-E, because Jesus is the missing piece in our lives. And when we look at the word peace, it really is derived from the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom was a word that was commonly used in Jesus's day, in the culture of the day. And the word shalom is derived from the statement, God be with you, or God be with us. And so when I would say shalom to you, I'd be asking that God would be with you. So shalom goes far more beyond the meaning of peace. Shalom means harmony. It means wholeness, and it means completeness. That when we have shalom, when we have peace, we find wholeness. Now, we as Christians, we know that Jesus is God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus did not just remain in heaven, but he came down from heaven to earth as a baby boy, as we were going to be celebrating in Christmas, but rose as a man and lived this earth and walked this earth as a man, was crucified and raised on the third day. We know that Jesus is God with us. Jesus is shalom. Jesus is peace. And when we have Jesus, when we receive Jesus, we receive peace. We receive wholeness. We receive completeness. The very thing that we were looking for in our life, or maybe in an area of our life, can be found in Jesus. And so today, to illustrate this and to look at it, we're going to look at the Word of God. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. And if you've got your Bibles on your phones, I'd love you to just open up there, follow along, and encourage you to take notes today, because I really believe that there may be some nuggets here that it's going to help you with the anxiety that you're facing. It may just help you just feel a little bit more relieved. You feel like the pressure is off your shoulders and you can breathe a little bit lighter. But beginning in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Now, Peter, as he's writing this, as we'll see, there's quite a lot of imagery that he's using to illustrate the words that he's talking about. And here when he's saying, clothe yourselves with humility, really he's going back to a moment where Jesus, like a servant, clothed himself with an apron as he got down on his knees to wash the feet of the disciples the night before he was taken to the cross. And so when Peter's saying to clothe yourselves with humility, is like clothing yourselves with an apron, preparing to serve. That when we are as a church, that we would serve one another, that we'd have humility with one another. And he says these words, "For God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Now, to humble ourselves, when we look at the original meaning of this phrase, it literally means to lower ourselves or to come under. So Peter is saying to come under or to lower ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, the mighty hand of God, his outstretched arm, right throughout Scripture, it means two things. It means God's provision and his protection. What are some of the areas that we may feel anxious in life? Our protection, our safety, our health, our wealth of ourselves, our kids, our family, and our provision. Where is it coming from? Why haven't I got it? When will it ever come? When will I ever have God's provision? So here, even before we see these next few words where Peter's going to tell us to cast our anxiety in Jesus, it begins with us humbling ourselves by coming under the mighty hand of God, his protection, his provision, that he will lift us up in due time, that he lifts us up in the right time, that he gives us exactly what he needs, what we need. And in verse 7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, anxiety steals our peace. And when peace is missing, what can happen in our lives is we often find ourselves crumbling under the weight of life's pressures. You see, I've discovered this, that peace doesn't come when I finally have control in my life. I'm a little bit of a control freak. I don't know about you, but I like to have things under control. And I sometimes convince myself that when I have this at hand, when I have this sorted, or when I have control of this, then I'll have peace. But what I found, peace comes when I no longer need control. Peace comes when I surrender my control to Jesus. Peace comes when I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, under his protection and his provision. When I cast my anxiety on Jesus, when I surrender control to him, when I give it all away to him, then I'm able to experience his peace. The battle of anxiety today is probably one of life's greatest day-to-day battles. It is a venomous poison that has the power to kill our joy, to destroy our dreams, to derail our plans, and distract us from who God has created us to be and who God has called us to be. And it can cause us to make decisions based on fear and worry rather than on faith and hope. And today I want to say to you that we believe as a church and as a people that freedom from anxiety is possible. I believe that you need to hear that today. Freedom from anxiety is possible. There is hope. There can be peace in your life. There can be peace in your mind and peace in your heart and peace in your anxiety, your worry, and your stress. You know, one thing that I've found is helpful over my life is making this statement, I'm not an anxious person, but I struggle with anxiety. I believe that's something that we need to be true for every area of our life. I'm not a depressed person, but I struggle with depression. I'm not an insecure person, but I struggle with insecurity. I'm not a fearful person, but I struggle with fear. You can see the difference in which I'm making. And why am I saying that? Because our identity should not be defined or determined by what we struggle with. Our identity is found in Jesus. Our identity is not determined by how weak I am, how much of a failure I am, maybe how anxious I am, how stressed I am, how worried I am, how depressed I am. My identity is found in Jesus. And our identity is to be found in Jesus. And maybe right now you're in an identity crisis. Maybe you're like, I don't even know what it means to have my identity found in Jesus. I'm praying that this is going to help you today to be able to find your identity in him. That you'll be able to make this statement, I am loved. I am a child of God. I am chosen. I am cherished. And I struggle with anxiety. And I struggle with worry. See, it's not removing those things and denying those things and praying away those things, but it's realizing I am in God and I struggle. And I believe that God is for me and he will help me in my struggle. You hear what I'm saying today? We're not saying that to deny those things, but recognizing those things. And then also coming to the word of God and saying, God, will you help me with these struggles? Because no matter who we are, no matter what age we are or what season of life that we're in, we can all struggle with anxiety in some shape or form. For many of us, we may struggle in different ways. Maybe anxiety for you is having a worry or concern about a particular problem at work or in home. Or it may be a panic that debilitates your life in such a way where it just consumes your life. All of us experience anxiety, some more intense and more frequent than others. But anxiety has the power to make our problems a problem. Anxiety has the power to be able to make our life about our problems. And in Psalm chapter 94, 19, the psalmist wrote, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. You see, when we are anxious, it multiplies our problems. It can make what may seem insignificant in the scope of life be something that is earth-shattering. It may go beyond comprehension. It may go beyond knowledge. But for you, in that moment, it becomes something that is multiplied. Something becomes so big that you can't see comfort. For me, personally, I have struggled at different times in my life with anxiety. And one thing that I've noticed that keeps cropping up is that I can get anxious when I think, you know, I've missed out on a particular event or a place that I should be, or maybe a task that I have to complete that I've not yet completed, or a person to meet that I haven't yet met, or even maybe more deeper than that and rooted in my identity, that I'm not the person I should be, that I'm not even the person in which I should become. And it brings me down this rabbit hole where my anxiety multiplies my problems. And what happens for me is it distracts me from who I am, where I am, and what I have. And the psalmist here, recognizing this, saying that when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, he says these words, "Your consolations delight my soul." The Amplified Translation says, "Your comforts cheer and delight my soul." See, he's recognizing the anxiety and what it's doing and the impact it's having on him. But he says, "God, I believe you can still bring comfort to my heart. You can still bring comfort to my mind. You can still bring peace into my life." Because for all of us, it's the belief and the truth that Jesus loves me. He loves me for who I am, not for who I should be. He loves me for where I am today, not for where I should be. See, oftentimes when I go down that path and I'm not where I should be, I should have been there, I should have done that, all these things for me is what rooted in the anxiety that I face. I need to come back to God. But God, where have you placed me? What are you doing in me? What have you called me to? Who have you called me to? You see, it's who we are that determines that what we do. For often many of us think that what I do determines who I am. And when our life is based on what I do and what I don't do and what I've done and what I should do, it creates this anxiety in me, because right then we're placing our identity in what I do. But we need to come back and we need to flip the switch. We need to flip it around in our minds. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am chosen. I am cherished. I am loved by Jesus, which will determine what I do and what he's calling me to. You see, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, I need to come back to him. God, would you bring comfort into my life? Would you cheer up my heart? Would you delight my soul? And this should bring comfort to each and every one of us. And I believe today that regardless of the cause of our anxiety, regardless even of the extent of our anxiety, there is always hope. You can find peace in your life. I want you to hear that today. There is hope for the anxiety that you face. Maybe you've been told before, this is something you just got to put up with. This is something you just got to numb in your life. You've just got to get through it. This is the life that you live. This is the way it is. I believe that that's a lie. There is freedom from anxiety. Anxiety does not and will not define you. You hear me today? Your identity can be found in Jesus. And he is the one who defines you. He's the one who defines you as you're loved. He's the one that defines you as that you're someone who's full of grace and mercy. That he sees you as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God. And it's something that you can find freedom in. So when we look at and we ask the question, what is anxiety and where does it come from? We see that anxiety is probably one of the most distressing emotions that any of us can feel or experience. Right now we're seeing it's a global phenomenon right throughout the world where anxiety, depression, worry, and stress is becoming the number one illness in the earth today. It has surpassed cancer, HIV. It has surpassed everything else because it's the thing that goes beyond socioeconomic background. It goes beyond how confident you are. It goes beyond your upbringing, your family background. It can be something that each and everyone can experience at any stage in their life. For many, it can come in the form of fear and phobias and panic attacks. Maybe as simple as heart palpitations, feeling like you can't catch your breath. It could come in the form of doubt, about the future. Worry about the present. It can even come in the form of avoiding people. Maybe it's something where you've struggled to come to church, or maybe you've even struggled to come today because the anxiety has gripped you so much that you convince yourself that I cannot even enter into a room like this. Anxiety is something that can grip us and each of us can face, and it's accompanied by the perception that we're in danger. It's accompanied by the perception that we are threatened or vulnerable in some way. And over thousands of years, our human mind has been trained to protect us. It's incredible when you look at the psychology and the physiologicalness of our minds. That over thousands of years, it's been trained to protect us and for us to stay away from danger. Is it me or is this mic feedbacking a little bit? Do you maybe want to switch mics? Thanks, Mark. To put up walls that prevent us from being hurt. Now listen to this. Anxiety causes us and convinces us to forget rather than to forgive. It causes us to push away rather than to lean in. It causes us to hold back rather than to go all in and face what's in front of us head on. And when we experience anxiety, we often respond of one of three ways. We can respond through fight, flight, or freeze. One of the three ways that we respond. And when we respond in this way, it can affect every area of our lives. It can affect us behaviorally. It can affect us emotionally. It can affect us physically. And it can affect our thinking and our thought processes. And often, anxiety determines what comes out of our mouth and the actions that we take. In essence, anxiety has the power to affect every area of our lives. But here in this scripture, Peter gives us and outlines for us the option of a fourth response, of a biblical response, one that's been adapted into psychology for hundreds of years because it is the most effective and the most important way that works for each of our lives, and is the response of casting our anxiety away. Now, I want you to hear me for a few moments as we go through this. It's not just removing our anxiety. Right now, there's a movement of mindfulness. It's to clear your mind, to remove the thoughts from your mind. But that's only half of it. It's not to remove the thoughts from your mind. It's to replace the thoughts with the Word of God. It's not just to cast your anxiety away, but it's to surrender it to Jesus. It's not just to go, well, I need to just forget that. I need just to remove that from my life. I need to just stop thinking that way. No, I need to surrender to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you renew my mind? I believe in the Word of God. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to believe that the words that He says in my life are true. They're living and active. You see, for us as Christians, we cast our anxiety on Jesus. We believe that He is big enough and He is strong enough to handle the problems that we're trying to handle. He's big enough and strong enough to take the concerns and the worries and the stresses and the anxieties that place them on Him. And so for the next few moments, I want to look at this scripture, look at this response that the Word of God is instructing us to take when we're experiencing anxiety so that we may experience the peace of God. So looking at verse 7, in which Peter says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. I want to break that up into looking at three different sections of this scripture for us to apply to our lives. Firstly, when we look at the word cast or to cast, it is defined as to forcefully throw away or to discard. So we think of to cast, it's to forcefully throw or discard our anxiety on Jesus. And throughout the gospel, the first four books of the Bible, we see that the Word of God uses this word again and again and again, particularly in the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's used in two ways. Firstly, it's widely used, more popularly used, when Jesus uses it in relation to casting out demons and evil spirits from people. Now, hear me for a second. I'm not saying that your anxiety and your anxious thoughts are evil spirits that we need to perform an exorcism just to get them out of. Don't let your anxiety rise, right? Don't hear what I'm not saying. You hear me? We're not that kind of church. But rather, it's the imagery. that Peter is using here, that just as Jesus cast out those demons, those evil spirits that were affecting the people of that day, is the same way in which we are to cast, to forcefully, with urgency, with energy, removing it from our hearts, our lives, and our minds, believing that there is freedom, that there is hope, and there is peace, is the same way in which we should respond. That's the first way in which to cast is used. But the second way in which to cast is used is in relation to Peter and Jesus. Peter, in which the one who has written these words. Peter was a fisherman. And we see in Scripture that one day he meets Jesus. As Peter was in the middle of his work, Jesus jumps into his boat and he says, Peter, I want you to cast out the nets on the other side from which you were fishing, in which you caught nothing. So he casts out his nets and the net is full of fish, a great abundance of fish. And I wonder, when Peter was writing these words, what is his mind going back to that moment? The moment in which he encountered Jesus, the man who changed his world and the world forever. The man who transformed him from simply being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. The man in which gave him a simple obedience to cast out your nets. He saw that through the simple obedience, a miracle was performed. The same way he's using this imagery for us, that when we obey Jesus and casting our anxiety, surrendering, submitting our anxiety to Jesus, we can see a miracle happen in our lives. We can see something powerful happen in our lives. But it's a continuous thing. It's a daily thing that we need to continuously do. I need to wake up in the morning as I spend time with God, say, God, okay, I've taken that back from you. I've tried to control things again. I need to surrender and submit my worries, my stress, my anxiety, everything that could happen, everything that might happen, all of the risks and the possibilities and the what ifs and the maybes, as my mind goes down to different rabbit holes, going, I'm not just going to remove those things from my mind, but God, would you fill me with your truth? God, would you fill me with your peace? God, would you fill me with your grace? Constantly coming back to that truth that I am not in control. God is in control. I've surrendered control to him. You see, casting our anxiety on Jesus is the action that we take, the giving away, the surrendering to him. And he does the rest. He covers us with his peace. He fills us with his grace. That's the part that we've been trying to do. We've been trying to become the peace for our lives that we could never become. But rather it's saying, God, I will offer up my heart to you, my mind to you, my life to you. Now will you fill me with your peace? Will you take control of the things that I am struggling to surrender? You see, when we do this, Jesus fills us with a peace that surpasses all understanding. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when we bring our anxiety to Jesus, when we humble ourselves, coming lower under the mighty hand of God, his provision and his protection, we experience his peace. But he lifts you up in due time. That's the difficult part. That's the hard part. That's the peace that's missing. Because we go, God has surrendered it to you. Why haven't you done anything about this? Why haven't you taken this already? Why haven't you removed this from my life? Why does this habit keep cropping up its head? Why does this temptation, like a pit, keep opening its way that I keep falling down? Why does this problem keep arising in my family? Why does this thing that is so awful keep coming into my mind? He lifts you up in due time, in the right time. See, God wants to build a faith in you, a resilience in you, so that when you continue on your journey in life and when you face that problem again, like you faced it 50 million other times, then now as you face it, you're having learned from the previous time, knowing God did do a great work. through that, God made me stronger in Him. I'm facing another problem, but because of what He's done there, it gives me faith for what He can continue to do. God, You rescued me in that moment. You may not have rescued me when I wanted You to. You may have not brought healing in the way that I thought You would bring healing. You may have not seen that thing come to pass in which I've been praying for and desiring to, but eventually at the right time, in the right way, in the right place, through the right people, You did a good thing. You see, life is a series of problems. It's not where if I go to church enough and read the Bible enough and pray enough, maybe I'll get to this area or this place in my life where now every problem just brushes off me. No, the problems just get harder and harder and harder. You see, the Christian life is a life of surrender. Not a life without problems. It's a life with problems and with Jesus. And you can choose to go through your life with problems and know Jesus, or with problems and with Jesus, surrendering to Him again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And say, God, I thought I'd gone through that before. Now I'm going through it again. And when you walk the journey with Him and you continue on in life, you remember the good things that He did in your life. You see, it's having a grateful heart that gives us strength. God, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for who I am in You. I'm so grateful for what You've done. I know that You're going to rescue me from this too. You see, God never promised to remove our problems, but He did promise that He would give us a strength and a resilience and a faith and a perseverance and a persistence that can overcome any problem in our life. Scripture says that we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. What is He calling us to do? To cast our anxiety on Him by humbling ourselves under His mighty hand, His protection, His provision, by surrendering it all to Him. Why? Why must we do this? And this is the final part in the scripture. It says, because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. You know, anxiety, the original meaning for anxiety in the original Greek, it means heaviness. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, it says, anxiety weighs down the heart. Anxiety is heavy. It is a weight to carry. It's an incredibly intense burden to lift. You know, we as a church, we believe in counseling. We believe in psychology. And we believe in the Word of God. Anxiety is not simply something that you can just pray away by your own strength, but it's also something that you need others to come around you and to support you and strengthen you. I go to counseling on a weekly basis. Why? Because I'm strengthening myself for the future problems that are coming my way, but I'm also dealing with some problems that I haven't dealt with. So that not the anxiety and the weight and the heaviness that continuously comes up and crops up in my life. Now I'm resourcing myself and equipping myself by seeking out the people who have the knowledge and the tools to be able to help me and give it to me in a Christian perspective. I want to encourage you, it's a both and. Don't think today that, right, I just need to apply this word to my life. I just need to do it. And if I could just do it just hard enough and strong enough and just concentrate a little bit more, focus a little bit more, go into this problem a little bit, maybe then I could do it. Or maybe you need help. And we as a church, we want to help you in that. We want to help provide that. We've got an incredible organization that we partner with. We've got incredible counselors in our church that are there to meet with you and sit down with you. It's a both and. The Word of God tells us to cast our anxiety on Jesus. He's also given us resources as Christian counselors. But here's the third part. Jesus used these words in Matthew 11, 28. Knowing this, the heaviness, the weight. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Heavy-hearted, anxious, worried, tired, tortured minds, and I will give you rest. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He doesn't want to see you going through life carrying that weight and that burden when He's there ready to take it from you. He's there ready for when you surrender and forgive and let go. He's ready to carry that burden from you. You know, 1 Peter 5 verse 7 in the Amplified Translation, rather than saying he cares for you, listen to this. It says, he watches over you very carefully. The Living Bible translates it like this: for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. I feel like there's a lot of you here today that you need to hear that. God is not a distant God. He's close. He's here. He's watching you. He cares for you. He's thinking about you right now. He's thinking about you. I know many of you, maybe you've felt like the voice of God has been this distant voice. Maybe you feel like the presence of God is something where you have not sensed or felt in a long, long, long time. I believe that you need to know that truth where it brings freedom in your heart. He's watching over you, cares for you, he loves you, he's thinking about you. And no matter how big or small your problems are, no matter how great that weight, that heaviness, that burden, that anxiety, that worry, the stress in which you're carrying, he can give you the grace. He can bring peace in your life. Why? Because he cares for you. You know, our response is casting. His response is taking. And I want to encourage you today, don't try and work it out on your own, because that's just going to cause worry in your life. Worry is taking responsibility for something God never intended for you to take. Worry is taking control of something that he never intended you to take control of. Worry is trying to figure out something in your life when he's saying, I'm here, ready to help you with it. We must continuously make a decision to surrender all to him. Cast our anxiety on him. Humble ourselves. Surrender to Jesus. You know, there's a great song back in the 90s written by an Irish worship leader. I remember growing up as a kid, started going to church from the age of 5 with my parents, and hearing these words, and it stuck in my mind. It says these words: all of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. You know, the Christian life is a life of surrender. I need to keep coming back to God. You need to keep coming back to God and saying, all of my anxiety, all of my worries, all of my concerns, I surrender these into your hands. I give these to you. I give these away to you. Hey, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? Maybe if, as I've been speaking today, maybe there's been another voice in your head convincing you that this is not for you. Maybe convincing you that, yeah, but it's different with me. You don't realize the problem which I'm facing. You don't realize the years and years of grief and abuse and shame and guilt and grief. You don't realize how hard it is for me. And I believe that that voice is a lie. And rather, there's another voice. It says, surrender to me and see what I will do. Give it to me and see what I will do. See, I believe that there's many of us that need to commit not just our lives to Jesus, but our anxiety to Jesus. That's where it begins. It doesn't end there, but that's where it begins. It's the both and. With your head bowed and your eyes closed today, I wonder, could we just pray this prayer together? It may be simple, just the words that we say, but we believe that it's an act of surrender. Would you just repeat these words after me and say, Jesus, I commit my life to you. All of my life. I need you to take all of my worries, all of my anxiety, and all of my concerns. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God, as we pray that prayer, I pray that you would right now do something supernatural in our lives where you would just fill us with your peace. A peace transcends all understanding. I wonder if we're just going to welcome up the worship team. as we begin to finish. And today I just also want to say, if you're struggling today with intense daily anxiety, panic disorder, depression, or just maybe experiencing some anxiety that's causing you not to be able to do the work that you've been called to, be around people, we want to help you. We are a church and a community that wants to resource, equip, and help. So I would love today, if maybe that's you, come and speak to me. Come and speak to one of our leaders and just say, look, I'm struggling. We've got people in our church that have volunteers, skilled, qualified, experienced Christian counselors who said, I want to volunteer my time to be able to help people because I believe that that's what God has called me to do. So do not go through this on your own. It's the both and. Do you hear me today? It's the both and. Surrendering to Jesus, but also receiving counsel. So I just want to encourage you. I want to offer that to you today, that may help you. Come on, let's just stand where we are as we finish this morning. Come on, maybe just close your eyes and where you are. I just want to raise out your hands in front of you and just continue in that state of mind. God, we're surrendering to you. God, I believe that what I'm struggling with will not define me. I've allowed it to, but today I choose to surrender. I choose to give it to you in Jesus' name. I choose to offer it up to you in Jesus' name. God, would you bring peace into my life? Would you bring peace into my mind? Would you bring peace into my marriage? Would you bring peace into my children? Would you bring peace into my family and into my home and into my workplace? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.